Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. What you do is you text the show. We probably got, wow, probably like 20 texts or so. We will get through, I promise you, in the next couple of segments. But right now, we're joined by Kaius DeBerry Moore, currently representing the 2nd Congressional District, and pending his win in November, will be representing the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good Friday morning, Jeff. We're doing good, doing fine. Sitting here in Mobile, Alabama this morning, actually.
That's good to hear. Welcome over our way. Well, I'm just going to throw it up to you, softball here, but your reaction to what you saw yesterday.
Well, I mean, I don't think many of us were terribly surprised that Trump said a few days before the verdict that Mother Teresa wasn't going to get out of there innocent. And so we know the fix was in. And based on just the fact that they prosecuted him and strung this novel case together with some misdemeanors / felonies, and nobody knew what really the underlying charge was. You could tell that the judge was in the tank, his daughter was in the tank, the prosecutor obviously was in the tank. The whole thing was a rigged hearing and then prosecution. And so certainly troubling. I think it undermines a lot of what people have trust in the blindness of justice in America. And so, I'm encouraged by what we're seeing this morning, though. $34.8 million new dollars in donations to Trump, 30% of them had never given to Trump before. And so I think the American people always seem, this country always seems to amaze me. They always seem to rise to the occasion. We think we're all divided. We think we're all politicized, and sometimes we are. But when you see that even many of the people with the blue checks behind them from Silicon Valley to Hollywood, across the country that did not like Donald Trump, but are now donating to Donald Trump and saying, this is a step too far. This is the Rubicon. You've crossed it. And that encourages me. And I think that as troubling as this is, I think it in some way is galvanizing support for Donald Trump to be the 47th president of the United States.
Well, you think this in the long run helps, and this is sort of like, it's almost like a warning sign to the country, like, hey, this is where this is headed. You better vote this way, or this is, we're going to see more of this in the future.
Yeah, I mean, Churchill said it pretty well. He said that appeasement's like feeding a crocodile, hope it eats you last. I think that many of these people, although they don't like Donald Trump, they're going along with these Democrats doing this stuff. When they realize that justice can be basically, Trump can be charged for something like this when he's fighting for our freedom, really he's fighting for his freedom, but in many ways he's protecting ours. I think it sends a message that, hey, you guys, we've got to get behind Trump here. I think that it's a wake up call. I feel like that the American people, like I said, they always seem to amaze me, but, the way that we're seeing the donations coming in and people are jumping ship from being an independent to supporting Trump. I feel like it just basically reelected him as president of the United States yesterday.
Well, tell me this, and there's a lot of Republicans out there, a lot of my listeners and people in conservative circles. I mean, it is, hey, how much longer can we sustain this asymmetrical warfare? The left will stop at nothing, and it's demonstrated by what happened yesterday in New York City, in Manhattan, and what are we doing? Why aren't we indicting Democrats? Why aren't we playing lawfare? And I'm not saying that's the way that this ought to be approached at all. I think that would be, that would backfire potentially. But what do you say to those people? Like, do they have a point?
Yeah, I think they do have a point. I think in that when they're asking those kind of questions, it's the frustration with what appears to be the Republicans not really fighting back in many ways. And so, we don't want to be guilty of what we're accusing the Democrats of, but there is a feel within this country that this is the most important election in our lifetime. And people say that all the time, but I can tell you this to me feels like the most important election in our lifetime, because with the border wide open, with inflation like it is, with this lawfare where you got this DOJ and this political prosecution and this partisan judge where they're going after the leading candidate for the president of the United States to lock him up when we've never even arrested a previous president in this country. I think that in many ways, man, I understand the frustrations when people call in because I feel that. But I feel like the way we do it is we win this election, we donate to Donald Trump, we mobilize, we call, we vote. And then when Trump gets in there, we stand with him when he does the hard things and he drains the darn swamp. And I think that that's what has to happen. I think that's what we need to do. We don't want to play the same games where justice is not blind and we target our political enemies. That is not the way forward here. The way forward is we get out, we hustle, we win this election, we donate to Donald Trump, we elect people who have a spine of titanium to stand with him when he looks at the swamp and says, enough is enough, we're about to drain this thing. And that's what it's going to take to fix it. It didn't get like this overnight, Jeff. You're not going to fix it overnight, but it is going to be painful.
Congressman, the C-minus journalism students at AL.com yesterday took exception or acted like it was a big deal. The appeal to heaven flag that you tweeted out your account.
Did you just call them C-minus journalists? Is that what you just did?
Maybe. We'll have to go back and review the
fantastic.
Tape. We'll have to go back and review the tape on that one. But nonetheless, they seem to think that was a big deal, and I just can't, whatever. But talk about that. You're not calling for the insurrection, are you there, Congressman?
I am calling for an insurrection in a way that I want people to drop to their knees and seek the creator of the universe to save this country. I think it's the greatest nation that's ever been gifted to mankind on planet Earth. And so when I put out the appeal to heaven flag months ago, it had nothing to do with the insurrection. It had the fact to do that Washington raised that thing when we needed it in a Revolutionary War. And it's one of those things that, man, I just know in my heart of hearts that if we don't return to the creator of the universe and the Lord God Almighty, this country's in big trouble. The reason we've been blessed is because we're a nation, I think, of prayer, a nation of people who seek him. And certainly our founding fathers throughout history did that. And I don't think that now is the time to turn away from what made this nation great. And it has nothing to do with whatever they wanted to, like you said, the C-minus journalists want to call it. It's just Barrymore expressing his First Amendment rights to freedom of speech, but also saying, as a leader, as an elected official, I am not as wise as I need to be in these times of trying issues for our country, and I need guidance from on high. And so I appeal to heaven, and I encourage people to do the same on my behalf and on their behalf.
Let's talk electoral politics, and going forward here, a lot of people think this helps Trump in the long run. Some think that, well, now you're going to go to the swing state and you could call him a convicted felon. But like from your standpoint, and we don't even have to just focus specifically on the presidential election, but top to bottom, all the way down the ballot, White House, Senate, House, does this, what happened yesterday, matter?
Yeah, I think people, based on the donations we're seeing, like I said, a third of them are coming from people who didn't. I had a fellow text because one had 35 people wanted to donate, needed to know where there was a good, secure link to donate to Donald Trump. Apparently, they've never done it before because they don't know where to send the money. So I think that politically, it looks like it's mobilized. And I've always felt like the Trump's base was pretty solid. But these are people who haven't given before. But they're also people probably maybe who didn't even vote for Trump before. And so I think that helps us at the top of the ticket and down the ballot too, Jeff. I think that there will be a lot of communities. I think Caroline Dobson in District 2 is going to have an opportunity because Trump's at the top of the ticket. And people in these minority communities have seen the weaponization of the DOJ in years past. And they've seen things where they thought maybe they didn't get a fair shake. And so I think in many ways, what they're doing to Trump is they feel like it's being done to them. And I think that it mobilizes some of the minority communities. I think that's why Trump's polling a little higher among the Hispanics and blacks, obviously. And those swing states, man, it doesn't take much to tilt that scale. And so I think that, we have an opportunity here, and certainly the Senate, I think the seats that are open this time for election certainly align for Republicans. So there's an opportunity to gain some down-the-ballot stuff. I feel like we'll have the majority in all three chambers. It is my prayer that we do not take a knee, that we actually, when we get the majority, do the hard things.
What about this? I don't know, you're on the House Judiciary Committee, but you look at this and just your first impression here. Do you think the Biden administration, I asked this of Coach Tuberville earlier in the program, the Biden administration's or the Biden campaign or what we are referring to as the deep state or whatever, how much are their fingerprints on this verdict yesterday?
Well, I mean, the third highest individual in the DOJ under the Biden administration was running this case in the courts. And it sounds like Fannie Willis had her boyfriend going and coming to the D.C. with meetings with the White House. And we've actually got Merrick Garland coming in this week in the judiciary, and there's going to be some tough questions asked of him. How do you appoint Jack Smith, who's known to be a little rogue, who's been a couple of times has had his hand slapped for going over the line, and how all of a sudden do you just turn this system loose on the preeminent nominee for President of the United States from the Republican Party, your political opponents? And so, I think that in many ways, man, this got Biden's fingerprints all over it. The FBI, them going down to Mar-a-Lago and raiding Mar-a-Lago, and they ran that out of the Washington, D.C. Bureau, not out of the Miami Bureau or the Fort Lauderdale Bureau or whatever bureau was closed. They ran that thing from D.C., man. They raided his home 91 days before the midterm last time, and you've got the third in the DOJ, the third highest-ranking member prosecuting Trump in New York. You've got Alvin Bragg, who ran and said, hey, you know, y'all like me, I'm going after Trump. Letitia James. Down the line, it's been this weaponization. And I think if you get into the weeds on it, we'll see that Biden campaign and the executive branch, their fingerprints are all over this thing. And that even makes it more nauseating for me.
Sentencing hearing for this 5 days before the RNC, or does that matter?
I don't think so. I don't know what the judge was thinking there. Maybe he wants to have Trump under house arrest when he sentences him so that he can't go to the convention. I don't know why the delay until 4 or 5 days before the convention, but Donald Trump's going to be nominated as our nominee. And so regardless of where he's at, what the judge tries to do to him, I think somebody told me this morning, said, y'all ought to get Trump to start doing his rallies in a jumpsuit and just to thumb his nose at the DOJ and what they're doing. It'd probably be a viral moment, but that's what they've been wanting this whole time. But honestly, I feel like Jeff just backfires. And so whatever they do 4 or 5 days before the convention, he's going to be our nominee and he's going to be the president of the United States. No matter how hard they try, it seems like to me, he goes up in the polls, and I think yesterday they elected him.
And I assume you're hearing from your constituents, but I mean that this, because this is what the listeners are telling me. I mean, they're sort of like, he's not losing any support out of this, and I don't know if that was the goal or not. That would be silly if they thought they could do that, but you're not seeing any bleeding of support, are you?
No. Honestly, we're not. I think like he's gaining ground. I think Jim Jordan and I were talking about it yesterday. It seems like to me that the momentum is shifting to the people who run, even Tucker Carlson, you know, he for a long time, he never told us who he was with or what, but when they arrested Trump, he said, I am now a Donald Trump supporter and voter. And so I think there's a lot of Tucker Carlsons in the world, not nearly as famous. They're just out here everyday Americans, but they see that and they see what's going on. And I couldn't believe the blue check marks behind some of the people this morning that were saying, I am now MAGA. I am now MAGA. These are people who were leftist or mods, you know, they certainly weren't Donald Trump fans. You can push people too far. And I think this administration, the abuse of power, and certainly the other issues in the country where they're not securing our border and crime's getting, I think they're already in trouble. They were in trouble economically and certainly from a national security standpoint. But also now this weaponization, anything to maintain power, anything to take the American people's choices away from them, man, that can galvanize people. And so when they're trying to pick your president, even if you don't like him, you're going to probably stand with him. And I think that's what we'll see what's happening.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this, but talk about this if you would. Like, the confidence in the system, the confidence is eroding, I think, these institutions. But this New York stuff seems to be more of an anomaly. This isn't, you don't think we're quite there yet where we start need to be skeptical of everything? Because, you know, you look at people and they see this and maybe they're not as versed in and knowledgeable about, you know, the different courts and how the structure works. But they do see that, and they start questioning their own judicial system, you know, at all levels.
Yeah, I mean, who cannot? I mean, we have seen this thing since the FISA warrants, you know, since they spied on Trump's campaign, since they accused him of Russian collusion, since they impeached him twice, since they raided his home, since they charged him with 86 felonies. All of this stuff, I think, that we're observing, certainly the January 6th people who are still locked up and haven't had a trial, those are the kind of things that make people step back and go, can we trust this justice system? And so there is no doubt in my mind that the administration, the executive branch, have weaponized certain agencies against conservatives. And then you see it with the IRS and just how they target people. And that there is reason to have some, I guess, concern about this administration and how these bureaucrats, how they're going after people, certainly now that Trump's, he's their number one political opponent, and they have just dragged that man through the mud since 2017, actually spied on his campaign in 15 and 16. And so the thought of that we just trust that blindly, you cannot do that anymore. And I think we have to have a healthy distrust of government. And I always say in my office, I want to make the federal government so small it's not worth corrupting, Jeff. And I think that we have to start decentralizing, moving power back out to the American people, because this system in D.C. don't care about us. You remember Joe Biden actually limited monoclonal antibodies to red states during COVID. This is, that tells you all you need to know about trusting this administration, whether it's the IRS, the DOJ, the EPA, whatever. You just pick an agency, the DHS, whatever agency, whatever alphabet group you want to pick. They have not been working for the American people. They have been centralizing power and gradually getting our liberty.
Congressman, we got to get out of here. We do appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. That was Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District, soon likely to be the Congressman of the 1st Congressional District. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.